All right, we're going to be on page 6 tonight. That's lesson number 2. And we was really down to number 2 on that page. And just to say that, in a general sense there, Moses is a deliverer. Well, what does he deliver? Or what did he deliver? Or what was he supposed to deliver? What was it? Huh? Jews from bondage? Yes, yes, yes. Okay. And he was a lawgiver. So what's the point about a lawgiver? The law, right? And prophet. And all those things combined into a man who had difficulties, a man who's just like you and I, but a man who met the challenge, okay, with God's help, which we can too. He was appointed deliverer, and did Moses succeed in what he wanted to do?
Yes.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Did he have doubts? Yes, but he succeeded, all right? So that's the same thing, a good thing for us to think about, too, as we go through life and meet challenges, whether it's health, whether it's family, whether it's politics, whether it's financial things. Okay, whatever it is, we can meet. Yes, sir.
People really can't say, well, yeah, but Moses had God on his side. Because anybody can have God on their side. It's one of the things God wants.
And we have our part too, don't we, to do? Okay. All right, so Moses. Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy 18, 18 through 22. We've mentioned that a couple of times so far. I just wanted to read that. I will raise up a prophet from among their countrymen like you, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall come about that whoever will not listen to my words, which he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. Verse 20, but the prophet who shall speak a word presumptuously in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or which he shall speak in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. Moses was the prophet. Moses proved himself over and over. And as we see in some next verses here in Exodus 3 and 12 and that sort of thing, I have sent you. God said that. Moses recorded that. I have sent you. Well, God would send someone that he has trust in. God would send someone that he's empowered. God would send someone that is working for the good of the people that he's talking to. Don't we see that with all the prophets of God? They want the best, okay, for those people of God, the people of faith, always building their faith. Now, So Moses, right there, it says signs happened as Moses said. Moses said there's going to be, the firstborn's going to die in Exodus 12. Okay? God told him that. And he said, you know, the Nile is going to turn to blood, which we'll see many things coming up. But Moses said these things before they occurred, and guess what? They occurred. They occurred. So proof is a prophet. Now, number 4 there. Moses' preeminence as prophet and lawgiver. Wrote these first 5 books of the Bible. And also in the next part, this lawgiver was the mediator of the law, which was the foundation of the Israelite nation and the rest of the Old Testament, Galatians 3. What's a mediator? A go-between. Sometimes a judge or a peacemaker, an advocate, okay? Certainly that, okay? And he had a lot of peace he had to have with the people he was with the idolaters that he mixed with, okay? Dealt with, the people met with. So a lot of things was on his plate, okay? And he had to be that type of guy. Let's see. Verse 3:19, he's a mediator to the seed that would come. That would be Christ. And then we see it's a prophet and a type of Christ in Deuteronomy 18. And Acts 3:22, he'll be a prophet. The Christ would be a prophet like me. Yes, okay? And, matter of fact, in D there, the New Testament references Moses 65 times. That's a lot. That's a lot. And that's not even the parallel accounts. And my E part there, the book of Exodus, is the third highest referenced book in the New Testament. 240 times, with Isaiah 4:19 and Psalms 4:14. So we can see that this book of Exodus, which we're studying, it's got prominence in the New Testament, prominence in the rest of the Scripture, and a lot of that prominence has the name Moses connected with it. It has the name Abraham connected with it. It has a lot of prominence because promises are connected with it. And those are things that they relied on, okay, in the New Testament for their faith, building their faith, maintaining their faith, and also seeing where they're going and where they're from. Okay? So there's a lot of things. And that's one of these mountaintops of faith that we've talked about. And as a matter of fact, that was a good article on the Humble Messenger on Sunday by Todd. Yes, ma'am. That's absolute trust in the words that are coming out of their mouth, okay? That word of God. That's quite exceptional, isn't it? Okay? Throughout the Bible, what did prophets desire of the ones that they wrote to or talked to? Heed the words and heed God's will. Correct. Were they proactive or corrective? Both? Yes, they were, weren't they? All right. Not necessarily saying what's going to happen in the future, but telling them how to correct the way they're living now. So prophets were the mouthpiece of God, the mouthpiece of deity. And that's reliance that we can do, trustworthy, especially throughout all time, which we can read in here. All right, so prophets had quite a job before them, okay? Did prophets choose themselves? No. Okay. Were they all great orators? Were they all rich, noble? Were they great? No. All kinds of prophets in there. Okay.
Not all of them wanted to do what God wanted to do.
Yeah. But God knew their potential. Okay. What wisdom. All right. Now, meaning of the word Exodus. Well, what is it? Going out, okay? Departure, exiting, that sort of thing. Yeah, I had a couple of scriptures referenced there in Exodus 3:8 and some others. But basically, in all these verses that we see in Exodus that I referenced there, they're all going out, exiting, and that name didn't really attach to it, okay, until you've got the Greek version of it, the Hebrew. But Exodus certainly describes the book itself, okay? It's got some major event in it, okay? Well, actually, the major event that set everything else up, okay? Verified everything else. So we've got going out, departure, that sort of thing. You see those verses there that deal with that. Brought them out, went out, bring you out, bring them up from. So all those sort of things lead to that word Exodus. Exodus. Now, so they've exited. So we've got these people, okay, faith, which we've seen from the patriarchs beginning, you know, Genesis. And there's something called a dispensation. A dispensation. We've heard that word before. Okay? And when you think of a dispensation, what do you think of?
How God deals with man.
How God deals with man. Okay? Sometimes the word administration is used. You know, if you have a presidential, a president in office, and they'll talk about things they're doing, they may say the administration is doing this. See? So there's things that are acting, okay, to carry out certain actions that they want, okay, and practices. Now, in God's case, these dispensations, and I'll read this, it's the administration or plan of God whereby he dispenses and blessings and curses during his covenants and after his covenants without the constraints of time. Been things in the in people's minds sometimes that covenants are restricted by time. Well, they're not restricted by time because it depends what covenant it is. There's multiple covenants in the Bible that God has made. Some that are conditional, some are non-conditional. You know, whether it's the flood, okay, or it's the one we're looking at here with Abraham, okay, those are conditional things, parts of this. And we'll look at the parts that aren't. Now, if we think of Exodus 1 through 19, it's patriarchal. Patriarchal means a family, okay? Names of individuals and their offspring, I guess you'd say. And so that blessing or curse travels with them for the extent of it. And now the Jewish, why do I start this Jewish dispensation in Exodus 20? What do we have in Exodus 20? Ten Commandments. See? So they're starting to deal with law, and it pertains not to the Egyptians, not to the Assyrians, not to those who live in any of those areas there, but it pertains particularly and peculiarly to that Jewish offspring, okay, that we're talking about, and Moses, and that sort of thing. Now, one thing I want to emphasize here, when we talk about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, there were covenants, agreements, okay, that God made with them and their offspring. But if we look at the Jewish dispensation, okay, now God's dealing with them, how is administering agreement with them. It's interesting there that it's made with a nation. Let's look at Deuteronomy 5 just to clarify that point. Deuteronomy 5. Verse 2. The Lord our God. Let me see one. I'm going to back up to 1. 5:1. Then Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, "Hear, O Israel, and the statutes and the ordinances which I am speaking today in your hearing, that you may learn them and observe them carefully. The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Horeb." When you see Horeb, you think Sinai too, okay? "The Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers." Oh, I thought he did. There's another covenant. Yes, he did. "But with our fathers, but with us, with all those of us alive here today." So there's a direct object there that it is a covenant that he's doing here. And if you read this next few verses, what do you get in Deuteronomy 5 coming up in the verses? It's a repeat of something. Yeah, Ten Commandments. Just like Exodus 20. All right? So Deuteronomy 5 is there. So he had in mind the Ten Commandments, see, and that sort of thing. So there's a covenant made with that nation, a national covenant, if we may say. Now, what changed in Acts chapter 2. Another guy called a Christian dispensation, Christian administration. So now, there's the backdrop of all these actions of the patriarchals, okay? Even Adam had that. Even Job had a patriarch coming. But now we move through this Jewish dispensation, and now into the Christian dispensation. And that's something that's peculiar to people today. It has full effect today. And that mode of dealing with people, okay, that agreement is because of Christ, isn't it? Okay? That's why it's called the Christian dispensation. So let's be aware of that. Not to say that the other dispensation, especially the Jewish or patriarchal, okay, was in its time led up to the Christian, didn't it? A lot of it was building in there, okay? Types and antitypes. Now, this next part, you can outline Exodus in many ways, three parts, or actually two parts, but this way, kind of a six part, which kind of flows along with your supplemental also, okay, as far as organizing it and that sort of thing. It's basically 666. Now, we notice in the first part, Israel multiplies and Moses selected as deliverer, 1 through 6. The thing to think about, the next 6 would be what? 7 through 12, the plagues, 10 plagues. And then when we get to the Exodus, okay, which is also part of that, after the plagues, well, this is where they're left Egypt, and you're going to run into the Red Sea. I wrote down some of the major points there. The Red Sea in Exodus, and what happens there, some water at Marah and Elam. The manna and the quail is going to be part of this Exodus that they're in. And the water from the rock at Rephidim. And then they had one battle, Amalek's. Okay, and they fought that. And on their whole trek through the Deuteronomy, you know, they had probably 6 battles or so, I think. Okay? So, but this is just one in this one. So it's something to think about. At least they're going to have some contact there with some neighbors that aren't so friendly. And, of course, after that, 13 through 18, 19 through 24, which we already mentioned, 19, 20, you know, is really where the law starts and that sort of thing. So that's the giving of the law up there on Mount Sinai, 10 commandments and all those sundry laws that affected them day by day, affected their worship, affected their priesthood. And then the last part, 25 through 40, which is a major section, all the detail concerning the tabernacle. And the exactly how it's made, and who makes it, the priestly garments, and the exactness of those. I know in your supplemental, I have a picture back there that shows the high priest and the things they wore, and the meaning, okay, of the different items they had, they wore. So there's a lot of symbolism, but we got to keep in mind for all this tabernacle and all the detail, all the instruction for the garments. Yeah, that's showy. Well, God didn't think so. God had a meaning for every bit of it because he designed every detail, every piece of it. And that was Moses's, one of his duties to make sure that it did get put together the way it was supposed to be done. Okay? And then, of course, you had to act within the priesthood a certain way and that sort of thing after that. So, overview of Exodus. It reveals to Israel the great I Am, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as deliverer of the nation. Well, we'll get to that, but when you think of the I Am, what is there any words that really can say God, a self-sufficient being, self-existence, not dependent on anything, full power, full knowledge, I mean, I use the word omni, okay, all the respects to this God. Can we say that he's not one among many? because his name doesn't fit like these other gods, which is in your handout, and all of them have a name and that sort of thing. Whether it's 30 of them or 300, 3,000 of those idols they had, they all had to have names. But this God that you worship, this God that created, this God that maintains, this God of the Exodus, okay, is a God with a, you really can't describe, okay, in a name. So I am. I am. So it's an interesting couple of words, okay? And then keep that in mind. And having delivered them, they are uniquely his and given a national law based on that relationship. And that's exactly what happened, all right? Because God said, you are mine. You are special to me. You are unique people. And through you people, lineage, my laws, expression of my will, is going to be told to the world. Okay. Again, eventually Jesus. Yes, sir. Well, see, probably the most powerful nation at that time, with the largest armies, a great spot also as far as water utilities and resources and that sort of thing, the trading route, all that sort of thing, was Egypt. Huge. Defeated. Utterly defeated. And the world knew that. The world knew that. So it's quite an ambition that they had to move out. Okay? And then God was with them. So that should give us faith today too. That's why we see it so many times. It occurs in Scripture. Okay, the Exodus and everything connected with it. Because it can certainly build our faith today and make us steady in our actions. Now, we've been talking about this covenant, various covenants, in this last part of it. Of this section, okay, is really dealing with that Genesis 3 covenant to Abraham. And I'm going to start with the nation promise. But in Genesis chapter 12, those first few verses, God's telling this man of faith, he's telling him that from you, and because of you, and because of your actions, I'm going to deal with blessings and curses. I'm going to deal with things that are going to keep my plan going, my ultimate eternal plan. I'm going to have things that occur, and you're going to be part of it, Abraham, your son Isaac, and Jacob. You guys are going to be part of a plan that is can marvel anything that could ever be done. And I want you to be aware of that. You may not understand it completely, but I want you to be aware of it. You're going to be part and parcel with it. So act that way. Tell your children to act that way. Okay? So we know that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Jacob's name was changed to Israel. So state of Israel, sons of Israel, all those kind of words building off Jacob, aren't they? Okay? And this promise, this plan of action, this covenant, okay, that God has made. Now, I know I'm starting there with, I did some misprint there. The great nation is the first one I'm going to deal with. And it says national promise there. That's the same thing, okay? I shouldn't have bolded that. I'm going to correct that. So I'm going to start with the second in verse 2. And when we deal with this great nation promise, let's see, let me go ahead and get to Genesis 46:3 first, okay? Verse 2, and God spoke to Israel in visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here I am. And he said, I am God, the God of your father. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you a great nation there. These are some things after, you know, Genesis 12 that he's told them, go down there. Do that. Go to Egypt. Go to Egypt. And we know he eventually did, didn't he? Okay, because of famine and that sort of thing. So he went to Egypt. And if we see also that making this great nation promise in verse 2, okay, of Genesis 12, that he also talked about in Deuteronomy 26:5. And you shall answer and say before the Lord your God, my father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down to Egypt, sojourned there, few in number, but there he became a what? A great, mighty, and populous nation. Of course, the Egyptians treated them harshly and affected them, but because they became a great nation, okay? National promise to them. So is that fulfilled? I'm saying it is. Okay, now we'll deal with that also. Now, when we see next that in that promise there in the great nation, they were blessed, they were consecrated, they were a treasured possession of God, and what was their duty? What was the Egyptian or the Jewish people's duty? Okay, these sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob who came. Praise God, honor God, like Alex said, listen to what he said, okay, and put it in foremost in your mind, okay, to do, to honor and to think. So that's what happened there. And in Deuteronomy 6, I want to look at that really quick. Deuteronomy 6, 13 through 16. You shall fear only the Lord your God, and you shall worship him and swear by his name. You shall not follow other gods, any of the gods of the peoples who surround you. There's a warning, instruction. For the Lord your God in the midst of you is a jealous God. Otherwise, the anger of the Lord your God will be kindled against you, and he will wipe you off the face of the earth. Conditional? That's pretty strong. Pretty strong. Yes, this promise here to make them a great nation, national, was conditional. Conditional. Unlike, again, the flood, okay? Which was a promise to everyone for all time. So, that's conditional. Now, let's see. If we consider that, and is there any implication in the New Testament on that? Of course, we haven't really touched on it, but we understand, don't we, that when they established, I'm going to go to probably Galatians 6 next, okay? We understand the priesthood, we understand all the implication of that, hopefully. Okay, well, especially when you get to it in this course, and you may already know. But the priesthood was very special to God, access to God, talking with God. All those things were the truly unique, okay, situations and duties they had. Now, so when we look at the New Testament and we see Galatians 6:16, what are Christians today called? The Israel of God. Interesting, isn't it? Connection, Israel, sons of Jacob. See, the covenant. And to verify that, if we can step back into 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. These words they use there, 1 Peter, are very, very good, considering, especially if you've got that Old Testament background, the priesthood in mind, and meant a lot to the people of this day. When you say that these Christians these days, these believers, these ones who have accepted Christ as their Savior, These people are a chosen race, unique, just like they were. Just like they were. Extremely special. A royal priesthood. You mean a priesthood of all peoples? Everybody be a priest? Yes, access to God? Yes, a great privilege. Let's see, a holy nation, a separate nation, a special nation. These are things you might say back to them, right? But say it now to you and I today. You catch the import of that. It's strong language. And a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Okay? Yes. Yeah. But this is our connection here, really, to the people of the Old Testament. Okay? And what, how God viewed them, especially during the Exodus. Special possession.
Interesting that Abraham had these promises, but he didn't have to see them fulfilled. So we have God's word that shows us that they were fulfilled. God fulfilled his promises.
Yes. In the next promise, we have the land promise, okay? And this next land promise is land. Well, we're going into Canaan. We're going to need some land, okay? Of course, Abram's been there before, and they've been in the land before in the Canaan area. But this time, they're going to be the masters of the land. And the only way they can do that is with God's help, God's guidance, God's wisdom, and God's power. And so the land promise... We can look at that, and I guess I'll deal with the idea of being fulfilled. Of course, land promises in the first verse. But it really, if you connect the first verse and the seventh verse together, okay, in your scripture, in your Bible, that's the way to do that, all right, because they go together. And if we deal with the, let me guess I'll go to Joshua 1 first, okay? We'll do that. One through six. These are the words which Moses spoke to all Israel across the Jordan in the wilderness in the Arabah opposite Soup, between Paran and Tophel and Laden and Hazeroth. Dizahah, forgive me on that. It is 11 days' journey from Hor by the way of Mount Seir to Kadesh Barnea, and it came about in the 14th year of the first day of the 11th month, and Moses spoke to the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had commanded him to give to them. And after he had defeated Shalon, the king of Amorites, who lived in Hebron, and Og, the king of Bashan, who lived in Ashtaroth and Edrei, across the Jordan in the land of Moab, Moses undertook to expound the law, saying, verse 6, the Lord our God spoke to us at Horeb, saying, you have stayed long enough at this mountain. And that, I was on, boy, did I do, who's reading Deuteronomy? Didn't sound right. Okay. You did good, Dawn. All right? But a little history there. Little pronunciation, all right? Now it came about after the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise across this Jordan, you and all his people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Verse 6, be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Be strong and courageous. And that's what we're doing with the land promise. And I guess I'm going to make it good here and go to Joshua 21 and 43 and 45. So the Lord gave Israel all the land which he had sworn to give to their fathers, and they possessed it and lived in it. And the Lord gave them rest on every side according to all that he had sworn to their fathers, and no one of all their enemies stood before them. The Lord gave all their enemies into their hand. Verse 45, mark this or whatever. Not one of the good promises which the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed. All came to pass. You'll see premillennial teaching these days and postmillennial teaching. It'll deal with the idea that those promises had not been fulfilled. This is a hard verse to get around. It's almost explained away. But those particular land promises have been fulfilled, and promises have been fulfilled. So there's things to deal with there on the land promise. And, of course, you can look at Nehemiah 9, dealing with that, and dealing that fulfilled there to Abraham, which referenced there, and then that was also conditional. Look at Deuteronomy 4, 25 through 27, that's also conditional. So there's things to think about in land promise, and we know that all was fulfilled. Now, there's a Sabbath rest, and we can talk about that, but when you think of Sabbath rest, think of heaven. Think of the eternal place of rest where there is no problem, a place where we can lay all our armor down. And you can read about that in Hebrews 3, 17 through 19. And also Hebrews 4, 1. And again, you'll notice in those verses, Hebrews 3, 7, 19, and also 4, 1, and also the end of Hebrews chapter 3, that disobedience, disbelief, those sort of things were really not a rampant item, but a serious, serious item that caused a lot of pain and death that God had to exert on them because of that disbelief and that disobedience. The extra 40 years and all the death of that generation is that they're talking about. So that wasn't easy for God to do to this chosen race of his, these chosen people. But he has to teach, doesn't he? Had to teach that. So those are some strong points there. Again, Sabbath rest is a type of heaven. Now, the last part is the Messianic promise. And many of us are familiar with that as we deal with that. We can see in Acts chapter 3, 25 through 26, that the seed, not the seeds, but the seed, okay, coming out of all this is going to be Christ. See, he's going to be Christ. And in that is the Messianic, the spiritual promise. Now, let me finish up in Galatians, and we'll do that. Galatians chapter 3. Let me start in verse 16. Now, the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say, and the seeds, as referring to many, but rather to the one, and to your seed, that is Christ. Now, 3:29, and if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. See what we've been talking about? Heirs from Abraham, according to the promise. What promise? Let's look at verse 8, 3:8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations shall be blessed in you. A seed. They had a gospel in the Old Testament? Good news, wasn't it? Okay? Good news in their deliverance. But also the projection forward. Type in any type forward. Okay? That there would be gospel good news by faith. Always watch that justified by faith, the Gentiles by faith. And that scripture says that beforehand by Abraham. So there's promise there of the Messiah, promise there of a Savior, promise of a deliverer, promise of a lawgiver, all culminating in Christ. Christ the King, Christ the High Priest, Christ who would live forever, Christ who died for everyone, all culminates in that, all pictured, okay, dealing with Abraham. So that's the hope we have. That's the hope we have, okay? So, land promise fulfilled. You can see that in Joshua was fulfilled there. The restoration was in Cyrus the king. You can see some of that in Isaiah 45, 1 and 4, where he predicted many, many, many years ahead of time that he would let Israel return, okay, and rebuild their temple. And then the spiritual promise we all just been talking about fulfilled in the only begotten Son, the Christ. And the duration of Mount Sinai, just an added point there that they were there for about a year. And when they were in Sinai for a year, what happened? They got a lot of laws, didn't they? Okay, a lot of things, okay? Instructions for everything that they were supposed to do. Of course, it was kind of spread out a little more, were added later on to other spots. But the main bulk of it was all there, okay? And again, establishing a priesthood and that sort of thing. So, remember that as we talk about Exodus now. So we'll be getting into the verses next time on your next lesson. But remember this. Do your questions. And it's, you know, you can read these chapters in 5 to 7 minutes. And why not read them a few times? Why not? Okay? In these first six especially. Because there's a lot of groundwork in there and a lot of things that are pertinent, okay? Of course, you get to seven, that's when we're going to deal with the plagues and that sort of thing. So be good in that. But please, be doing your questions and be a couple lessons ahead. You never know how fast we're going to go. All right? Thank you.